Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We are now recording this program. I'm very pleased to introduce the author of this case, Ed Marsh, Jr. But before I talk about Ed Marsh, Jr., I want to say Marianne Peabody and I are very proud that we also worked with Ed's father, Ed Marsh, Sr. Ed Marsh, Sr. was the chairman of the board of Vanguard, which was one of the largest medical practices in Massachusetts. And then we worked with Ed on the merger between Vanguard and Harvard Community Health Plan to become Harvard Vanguard. So it was a pleasure to work with Ed, and it's an equal pleasure to be working with Ed's son, Ed Marsh Jr. Ed Marsh is a business management consultant. He has founded and operated several businesses. Today, as principal of Consilium Business Advisors, he assists lower middle market industrial manufacturers on strategy and revenue growth. Ed is also a chief revenue officer for Intent Data. It's a data firm that works primarily with software as a service companies. Ed is the former export advisor to American Express. He was awarded the Presidential E Award by United States President Obama. This award recognizes Ed's contribution as an export promoter of United States products and services. Ed is a graduate of Johns Hopkins University. He is a former Ranger, qualified Army paratrooper, and he is certified by the National Association of Corporate Directors for directorship. So, thank you very much for joining us. And what I'm going to do is just go through the different groups that we had. The first group consisted of Angela, Babs, Cindy, and Robert. Do you have a spokesperson who would talk about the case?
That would be me.
Okay.
Well, we had a fun and lively group, and some of us commented that we're actually living this, or we've lived this case in the past. So we had a lot to say about it. First, we talked about what people's roles actually were. You know, there's a CEO who's also an executive chair. Is that a good thing? But it's kind of typical for a private family, you know, for a family business. There's also a president who doesn't seem to be engaged in the case study. And what really is the board's role in terms of talent? So it is not their role to fire anybody but the CEO, although they should be asking for a strategic plan, which brought us on to the next point about, you know, where is the strategic plan? What are the key performance indicators? And one of the suggestions that was that we really liked was that there should be maybe a strategic planning retreat or something to get people more engaged, to get the senior leadership team with the board and them all talking together to decide what the objectives need to be. And then people could kind of sort out for themselves whether they can actually do those jobs and perform them and see whether they fit what needs to be done for the company. Also had some great suggestions from Angela and working behind the scenes. You know, why doesn't the father, maybe Hank should go out with the father-in-law who's sitting there doing the pet projects and have a little conversation with him and have lunch with him and talk about, you know, what do you think about what's going on and the fact that, you know, the business is struggling and we've always had people coming in and just giving us orders, but now we have to go out and kind of involve him in that because he can help to influence some of what's going on, especially because it is a family business. We thought it was interesting that they had Deloitte come in and rubber stamp everything that Cynthia was saying. And we thought perhaps Hank was using that as a way to get the rest of the board and the rest of the organization to actually adopt her ideas. But there was a lot of disappointment on him not doing anything. But as Robert pointed out, he's between a rock and a hard place, right? He can't rock the boat too much in a family company. You have to be a little more gentle in the way you go about things in a family business. And What did I miss? Oh, we talked about how there were three new people on the board and that perhaps, you know, they're outnumbering the family members now. So there's a lot of impetus for change, although the three other board members weren't mentioned very much in there. But as Cindy pointed out, those people were brought in for their expertise. And we thought that was a good thing, that their expertise was the most important thing. And they were things that the board and the company needed to have on the board with their skill sets. And they had filled the skill gaps on the board. And what did I miss, team? What did I forget?
Nothing. That's great. That's good report. Thank you. Team two is Bill, Bob, Ed, and Pam.
So this is Bill. I will report what we came up with. And Pamela and Bob, please step in if you need to. We viewed this problem, this case, as a Hank problem, not a Cynthia problem. And I think as group one pointed out, Hank is in the middle of a bunch of conflicts. He's a board, he's the chair of the board, so he has an obligation at that level. Secondly, he's the CEO of the company, so he's management. And third, he's also a family member, if only by marriage. I think we viewed the problem as, you know, Hank's failure really to come to terms with these various conflicts that he has. In particular, for example, the conflict between Cynthia and Ben, you know, arises at a board meeting, board meetings only. And, Cynthia has really packed a punch at the most recent board meeting with just a whole slew of tough questions, probably across the whole realm of Ben's sales and marketing responsibilities. And we felt that you know, Hank letting these issues, surface only at the board level was a problem. He should have been able to manage that better, perhaps by getting Cynthia and Ben to have conversations between board meetings, for example, so that everything didn't take place in front of everybody else. But the real question is sort of what to do next. And I think what we felt was that Hank is taking the right step by saying that he needs to talk to Peter, who's the president, about the situation, get his advice. And we don't know too much about Peter's involvement in the company, but as president and probably somebody has a closer relationship with Ben than Hank himself does, because Hank's relatively new to the CEO role, he's got to get Ben on board. And the principal question that we had was, do all the stakeholders believe that this is a growth company that needs to be more aggressive in terms of, growing its business, getting new customers and so forth? Or is the company perfectly happy? Are the stakeholders particularly happy in just, taking orders and making this, kind of a large lifestyle company? It is $500 million. So it's a pretty valuable asset. And so to our mind, the question is, aligning management, the board, and the family, most importantly, with the going forward strategy, a growth strategy, or things are great as they are strategy. So we think that Hank needs to talk to Peter, and then between he and Peter, get a sense of where the family as a whole stands on this. And the case is not that clear in terms of whether there are factions and divisions within the family or not. But, for purposes of the discussion, we're assuming that, there can be a consensus reached among family members. And then if the decision is to grow the company and, give Ben still the opportunity to participate in that, to get Ben and Cynthia to work together a little bit if possible, and not to take mammoth cross the board soup to nuts steps in sales and marketing, but you know, let's try this baby step, see if we can pull it off, see if you think it works, and if it works, try the next baby step, and you know, ultimately sort of bring Peter or bring Ben within the fold. I think we also noted that there's a real culture shift going on here, that sort of the old ways of doing the business and being successful up to a point really are being challenged by sort of a new culture of you know, of a growth-oriented business. And so that's, again, something that probably has to go back to the family to get their sense of whether we are growing or whether we're just going to, you know, sort of eat our lunch as it's served to us. That's pretty much it from group two. Did I miss anything, guys?
No, that was good.
Good. Thank you very much. The next group consists of Barry, Ingrid, Mindy, and Submit.
All right. Ingrid will be the spokesperson this time. So, and that's me. And so some of the things that we talked about, I'm kind of giving a little bit of stream of consciousness, but I think we had some great variability in our opinion. So initially we were saying, you know, maybe she's not a fit for the role. This is Cynthia. There was some thoughts around the way that she approached sharing her frustration in the sense that it was done more publicly and kind of taking that person to the woodshed in front of peers and whatnot, and then considering maybe doing it more of a scalpel or in private. Those are things that we thought from a tact and tactics standpoint, that term and that type of idea came up quite a bit in trying to say, you know, there may have been many things going on that were underlying factors, such as perhaps Ben was threatened, or perhaps there was some frustration in the sense that maybe Cynthia felt it was unnecessary to be validated by Deloitte, but good for her, she was. There are certain things there that we were trying to understand a little bit around the if there was anything there regarding a gender standpoint. It just kind of came up a couple times during our dialogue. I think it was Bill a couple moments ago mentioned the piece around why didn't Hank address the issues with Ben a little bit more directly on it, on its face, just doing that as a matter of his job, especially when a board member was bringing up some key things that probably should have been looked a little bit more substantially. And if you're going to pay the money to have someone like a Deloitte, who last time I checked is not a cheap ticket, you're definitely going to want to make sure that somebody has an action plan. At least the times I've engaged them, if anyone who's from here, that's not a ding. It's just saying you guys got a great model because you're obviously getting paid well. And then to move on, it was some of the recommendations or thoughts we had about it were perhaps Cynthia should have had or obtained allies, other board members that could have been a part of the dialogue so that she wouldn't have had to have been the only sole member kind of pounding her fist. There were some thoughts around, I think Mark on our team had mentioned that Submit, for those of you here, Mark on our team had mentioned that perhaps Hank should have done a better job telling her about the culture, meaning the family and business, and just how the pace of things, the tone of things, how they move through, just to give her more preparation and understanding where her frustrations came from, but also voicing that it may take a longer path to get these things addressed. Mark had also mentioned some pieces around perhaps Hank didn't set up a really good burning platform for change so that people, the new board members and everybody that was there, really understood that there was a sense that the market, the future post-COVID market was going to change. And back to Bill's point earlier, you weren't going to be gifted or handed sales the way maybe they were in the past, and those repeatable, sustainable types of going out to find those sales, those practices were going to come in handy very soon. So some of the things we had talked about in addition were accountability. There was some thought or discussion, I think it was Mindy who had mentioned sometimes in family businesses, there can be a sense that the jobs are secure and therefore the hunger and maybe the paranoia that can be associated with working for corporations where somebody else, some young TARP could be right behind you trying to steal your job or steal your customer that may not have been as deeply embedded in some of these members. So bringing in people from the outside sometimes can stir that pot and cause a little disruption, maybe more than that board was bargaining for. I think we got into a small discussion around fiduciary responsibility to shareholders, to which we also brought in the fact that, but in this case, the shareholders are the family. So in our mind, we had to kind of keep that straight. We ultimately closed our remarks by saying, you know, should Cynthia stay? And there was some commentary around, we all agreed that we thought she should. I had added a couple comments regarding this would be a great opportunity for Hank to coach Cynthia on that tact piece, because regardless of what board she represents, she can still be right. But if you are an irritant to the board in a sense that, you know, when you're not heard or seen, there's other ways to handle it, and it might do her well to have executive coaching to help her through that so that she can continue to thrive in her next, you know, hopefully she stays with this board, but in her next board opportunities. And then also to potentially have a family business advisor leveraged for kind of mediating now the situation going on with the board. And the last point was for Ben potentially to have perhaps maybe a sales ops or a sales analytics person put with his team to help him operationalize a little bit better, streamline that and get that a little bit more shored up so that these gaps that they were experiencing as far as protocols and procedures could be addressed. So team, any things that I missed?
It's fine.
All right, great.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Next team is John, Karina, Susan, and Suzanne.
I'll be reporting back. So a lot of the things that have already been mentioned, we discussed. We focused on first the fact if they spend capital on having Deloitte offer this advice, then Hank should push it through and hold everyone accountable, because like Ingrid mentioned, it's not a cheap item. So everybody needs to be accountable. Similar to that, Ben needs to be put on a performance improvement plan. And Hank needs to remind everyone like of his, you know, of the stipulations he made to take this role. And if he can't get buy-in to do that, then maybe reconsider whether he can be effective. We talked about this being a learning opportunity for Cynthia, since, you know, she's new to board roles and excited. There are ways that she is standing in her own way, especially like, you know, displaying anger at board meetings and whatnot. And Hank could take this opportunity to use this as a development moment for her and hopefully keep her on the board. We talked a lot about, is there or is there not misogyny going on? And we were in agreement that if it is, you know, like if it were clear, then action needed to happen quickly. But since it wasn't clear that the statement was coming from misogyny, not just fear, you know, that for, you know, maybe the first time ever Ben is being held accountable, then Hank needs to first just, you know, keep his antennas up and pay attention and see if there is an issue. And if there is an issue, then address it. That's the summarized version of what we talked about. And thank you. If anyone wants to add anything from my team, please go ahead.
No, okay, thank you very much. The next team is Amita, Brian, Kevin, and Scott.
So I'll speak for the group. And we also felt Hank was brought in for change. He brought in new board members, a consultant, but he really did not execute well. He was remiss in addressing these issues from a sales and marketing perspective, which were hampering growth, but also the dynamics between the board member and, you know, Cynthia and Ben. And this had been festering for a while. It wasn't exactly new, just not stuff which happened at one board meeting. We also were cognizant of the fact that there may be other dynamics which we were not aware of, which the case did not talk about, you know, in terms of the family members themselves. And it could also be a function of what the ownership structure was as well. It could very well be that some of the family members had much larger ownership structure and could have more of a say in terms of what was going on strategy-wise, whether it was staying at the 500 million or growing further or just dynamics with the other employees as well. We also felt that it was appropriate to bring in an external business facilitator, someone who was an experienced business person, but very used to dealing with family-owned businesses and the family dynamics as such, to get to the root causes and identify options. There is no one single option which is right for each company, but at least identify options, whether it was going to be coaching for Ben and or Cynthia, bringing in a lower level digital or sales ops person, as somebody else also mentioned under Ben, getting the family consensus, again, whether it's growth or or staying as is. But realizing that aspect, or even considering things like Hank and or Cynthia leave, these are just options which the person, the facilitator, can help the family and the board kind of work through that. Anything else, team, you'd like to add? We also talked about how Peter Jackson, we did not know exactly how much of a role he played or not, whether he was a family member or not, and also the way Cynthia expressed herself. But other things, Kevin, Scott, Brian, you'd like to add?
Okay, thank you very much.
Summarized well, thank you.
Our final group is John, Larry, and Marianne.
I love going last. Most everything's been said at this point. Very interesting case. And some of this has come up before, that this is a sort of discussion around whether this company wants to be a lifestyle company or a growth company. We thought that because they brought in a son-in-law who was at Bain and some of the other people, they really are aiming for growth, was what we thought. But it wasn't clearly stated in there. Where we landed was we thought the nut of the problem really flowed out from the fact that they didn't have a strategic plan in place. And I think a couple of teams have brought this up. A very clearly defined strategic plan with goals and timelines that would really put the emphasis on getting past what they're doing a lot of now, which is the transactional piece, and working more strategically, which would get more intergroup cooperation, hopefully, going as they try and go to a common goal. We had a lot of discussions around, the difference between how they're going to separate family dynamics from business dynamics. That was all sort of part of the discussion. We talked a little bit about some of the people in terms of, a couple of them needing some coaching, including Ben, who obviously needs some coaching, but also Cynthia, who is a newbie board member. I think the way it was put was got a little past having her nose in and maybe had more of her fingers in than just her nose. And we thought that really the nut of it was if they put a strategic plan in and Hank was charged with executing the strategic plan with Peter obviously doing the operational pieces, that a lot of this would go away with some real coaching. Did I miss anything, team? Did I miss a lot of anything that we talked about?
The only thing that we did talk about that I didn't hear anyone talk about was that our team thought that Ben, as a salesperson, was bringing in a lot of business. 500 million wasn't anything to sneeze at. And he probably did it by relationship. And he may not, and that might be his modus operandi, but it was valuable. So you didn't want to just kick him to the curb. You wanted to maybe bring in somebody with digital marketing experience and hopefully converge their ability to work together.
Yeah, and one last thing also, we talked about Cynthia being new to being a board member 18 years later. We don't know, what was the chemistry? Did she compromise her integrity? Was she taken seriously? We don't know the dynamics of her with the rest of the board, because 18 months later, if all these decisions or recommendations she made weren't intact, what was going on behind the scenes as far as just personality and credibility?
Thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to give the floor to Ed March, who wrote the case and can react to the reactions that he heard. Ed?
Thanks, Larry. So first, given the generational introduction, I need to point out I'm actually a third. He worked with my dad, who was a junior. And
yes, that's right.
So I think, obviously, a lot of good perspectives, a lot of good approaches. There is a lot of stuff festering here, and there's a lot of stuff that there's no way to try to answer all the questions in a case, obviously. One general point I believe implicit, as somebody mentioned, implicit in a lot of the circumstances that the family committed to growth. Now, that may have been an intellectual commitment. And when the emotional commitment kind of careened or crashed into reality, maybe there's some second guessing that. But absolutely, they were committed to growth. And that's the background. Now, behind it is a thread, which obviously I didn't articulate very well because I didn't hear it mentioned in any of the conversations. And that's the analogy that one can easily draw for this kind of company between the crisis that they faced in the mid-80s, early 90s, in terms of proper manufacturing process, and the crisis that they're facing now in terms of proper go-to-market process. So in other words, you know, these kinds of companies were started by somebody in their garage in 1950, doing something at night, had an amazing product, started selling it, built a business, it grew, the family was involved, many people were working for the business. Before they knew it, they were doing $100 million of business, and they had no quality control, and production was haphazard. And they all ran into this wall. They put it off as long as they could as Japanese management practices became common. And finally, they had no choice. Companies like this went through a wrenching transition where members of the family fell away. There was fights, there was divisions in the companies, and they came through with some group of the company very deeply steeped in process engineering. And that permeates every aspect of how they run their business on the back end, in terms of financial process, operation process, manufacturing, engineering. Everything is done, you know, according to A10s that hang on the bulletin boards as you walk around the plant, except the front end of the business, where there is no analogous rigor that's brought. And, you know, yes, they use CRM, and yes, somebody can print out a report, but there's it's all in a very cavalier sort of a way. And so I believe, and kind of one of my fundamental beliefs that inform this, is that many of these kinds of companies are nearing a point where they're going to have to go through a similarly wrenching sort of an experience where, again, it's going to fracture some of the family. They're going to have to decide, are they really willing to adapt the front end of the business in the ways that digital buyers expect today and the market expects, or are they going to try to persist in doing it kind of the way they've traditionally done it? So I think that a lot of what people have talked about are touching around the edges of what's really a very core challenge that is probably not even recognized fully. I think Cynthia at one point spoke about it in her outburst of the meeting, that, you know, they went through this before. The company almost died because they couldn't get their act together. People didn't want to get on board, and now it's happening again. So that's kind of a high level sort of a theme that I had intended, and obviously should have woven it in differently, but something that I think that's out there. In terms of the situation, there was a lot of discussion about Hank wearing these different hats, and it seemed like he had, to a large degree, abdicated his CEO role, because this was really written from the perspective of his role on the board as opposed to his role as a CEO, and why are things not under better control. And you know, I could have written it a couple different ways. The idea behind it was that Peter, the president, is probably one of these deeply technical, brilliant engineers, strong financial background, process orientation, who just believes that sales and marketing is this black box. And so he kind of has these operational reports, asks for a sales pipeline, a forecast that's perennially inaccurate, with the large deal that's always going to close next month, the next quarter. And he just accepts that because that's the way he sees the world. And so management has fallen down, but management doesn't know any better. And so kind of recognizing that was Hank's goal in augmenting the board with some of this outside expertise, so that management would be able to you know, improve and learn lessons from those people. So there's some quick reactions to what I heard people talking about. What questions do you have for me?
Questions for Ed, anybody?
Ed, I have a question. why was he given a pass? Why was Ben given a pass where, you know, they said that the orders were being received, but they really weren't proactive on getting new orders, whatever. But why is a person who's in charge of sales that level given a pass at all versus like, you know, some companies would just replace that person or make a change, whatever it might be, but he was given a pass.
Yeah, so I think part of the culture conflict here is the fact that if you look at the way the technology world runs, the sometimes investors and board members are on weekly pipeline review calls. The intensity, the expectations are so extraordinary to produce results. And that contrasts very, very, very sharply with the industrial world, particularly these long sell cycle, two-year, $2 and $5 million capital equipment kind of projects where they have a very different approach. The other answer to your question that came up in the group where I was sitting in was that basically the family doesn't have the breadth of awareness to be able to make a baseline judgment on whether Ben even has the horsepower to do the job. Many companies like this, in my experience, have built fairly loyal customer bases over the years, and they have 80% of their business coming from repeat orders, unpredictably kind of at the atomic level, predictably in aggregate, that they know they'll be getting some of those. But the family and much of the management probably is able to go out onto the production floor and see a shift supervisor and understand instinctively if they have the technical chops to do the job, but don't have a clue about how to assess whether Ben has the capability. So he got the pass, I think, not because people were trying to be generous, just because they were ignorant.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Ed, in one item in the case, it talked about Ben was resistant to change. And I guess that planted an idea for me, you know, at some point, based on his success, he had been successful. Now you have to go a different path strategically where you may have to digital or use some other thoughts and ideas. It looked as though it may be time for Ben to move on to a different role, and you need someone else with a different focus or ability to change. Did that come into play at all about, you know, whether he had the technical capacity, but the whole, you know, the way I used to do it versus now I've got to go digital. That's hard for
you. Yeah, anyone. I mean, I've watched this situation repeatedly, and I can hear the conversations where he talks about Cynthia and says, I've forgotten more about sales than she's ever going to know. What she here talking to us about, exactly. She doesn't know the difference between a servo drive and an AC inverter. I mean, why is she this conversation? But I think you're absolutely right. If you accept my premise that they're coming up to this kind of cataclysmic event where they're going to have, things are going to rupture just like they did 20 years ago, then yes, he has to change. Now, somebody mentioned his strength of relationship selling, and that's probably very reasonable. And maybe he goes into some kind of a key account role, and maybe he's given a couple accounts where he just nurtures those. And if people can figure out how to deal with his ego, and let him ease himself into that role, he probably continues to add value to the company, but he's an impediment where he is now.
Mm.
And I'm curious whether the family had ever gone out to the outside for any other key executive job beside a family member.
So I didn't contemplate that writing this. I know, Bob, you mentioned a great example in the group of many companies when IT became such an important part of business, they had to step outside of the family and the local group to find somebody with the IT expertise, which created problems in terms of compensation and intrusion into the family dynamic and everything else. I didn't think about it as part of writing this, though.
Thank you very much, Ed. I really appreciate your case and your discussion about the case. In the time that we have left, I want to go back to Mary Ann Peabody of Stiebel Peabody Associates. At the beginning of this program, before we actually formally started, she mentioned she's doing a board search. I'd like, Mary Ann, if you would just kind of summarize the board search you're doing and what you're looking for. Maybe there's someone in the group who knows someone.
It's for an insurance company that's needing, over the next several years, several members. We did find someone with a lot of insurance company experience for them. Now they're looking for someone with investment experience who can help them because they have to balance their premiums that they have coming in and losses that they have to pay out. So they have to pay attention to their assets and what they're investing. So they're looking for someone with actual investment experience. Does not have to be anywhere in the world. The person can live coming to the company maybe only once a year. They've become more virtual since COVID began. So, but I would appreciate hearing from anyone who has some suggestions of people that might be good board members. The board really would like someone with prior board experience, and yet they need someone who will be able to stay on the board for a while. So that's sort of the profile that we're looking for.
Marianne, is this a public company, a private company, a mutual company?
It's a mutual company. It's okay. A mutual company. So the shareholders are the policy holders. So
any preference for previous operational role?
Well, they have that in insurance now. So that was on our last search. That was something, but they really want someone with investment management. When we look at it, I think people that have invested pension plans, same kind of thing. You have money coming in, you have money going out. It's not like necessarily high tech investments or high risk investments. It has to be someone who has done a lot of balanced investing.
This is a big asset and liability matching job.
Yes.
Cash flow.
Yeah. And they need advice on that realm. They lost one of their directors who became ill and was probably the oldest director on their board, was the person who really had that strong expertise. So they're missing it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you very much, Marianne. Before we leave, does anybody have any issues, ideas, desires, need any help, advice, networks that anybody in this room could help anybody with? Just speak up now and use the expertise that's in the room. Anybody? No?
I should mention people can find me at peabody@stiebelpeabody.com or peabody@boardoptions.com. So yep. Reach out.
I want to congratulate Larry and Marianne for their upcoming 50th wedding anniversary. And being in business for 42 years together, living, sleeping, breathing. It's a wonderful, amazing mitzvah.
Thank you.
And we thought we were so competitive, we'd never be able to work together. We taught, we taught a course for teenagers and we co-taught and we thought, oh, we'll never be able to work together. We were very competitive.
It appears the pillow talk has worked out.
Congratulations. That's terrific.
Thank you.
That's very nice.
If anybody knows of anybody who is looking for a job in event management or development, we're having an extremely difficult time finding for a large nonprofit, international nonprofit, somebody for either one of those roles. And it can be virtual.
Oh, okay. Hmm. I'm part of several communities and I'm happy if you want to share a job rec or a link to the jobs, I'm happy to post them in all of them because I know there are people looking.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Cindy, yeah. What's your email address?
csjarbo@gmail.com.
And Cindy, do you know of an organization called Women in Development?
No.
So that's a good organization to reach out to. And I think they probably also have a job posting available.
Thank you.
Also, Cindy, I give talks around the country on corporate governance, and I have put together a list of 150 conference managers. And so if you send me the job posting, I'll be glad to send it out to 150 conference people.
Thank you.
Okay. By the way, Cindy has written an excellent book about guidance for those of you who are on boards of nonprofit companies, and many of you are on nonprofit companies. And Cindy gave an excellent seat at the table program. I think it might have been November of 2022, and that's available now at boardoptions.com. Just go to the section called From Ideas to Action and scroll down until you see Cindy's picture. And speaking nonprofits, Barry Coslow is going to be presenting a case in February about a nonprofit company. So we'll continue this nonprofit theme in February. I hope you can join Barry and me. In the meantime, have a wonderful rest of January and February. We'll see you next month.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Larry, that is really great. Mazel tov to you and Mary.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That is so nice.